Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hello and welcome to Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim. I am feeling a little bit under the weather today, so I may not be quite as bright and cheery as I usually am, but it's a beautiful day out right now. The sun is shining, the sky is blue, and there isn't a cloud in the sky, but my middle son has given me a cold, because that's what they do. Your kids catch colds while they're out in the world, and then they come and lovingly give them to you. So I'm trying to conserve all my energy because I do have to teach tonight. But I did want to talk today just briefly because, again, not feeling well. So this will be probably pretty short. I did want to talk about a few things that I've noticed working with some postpartum clients over the past couple of months. I've seen quite a bit of issues with feeding and all of that. And I don't know if it's because we've got a lot of virtual support happening with lactation consultants, breastfeeding clinics not being opened, short-staffed and whatnot in hospitals after baby is born in the postpartum area, lack of information from the postpartum people in hospital. I don't know, to be honest, but I think it behooves us that even if you are planning to feed baby from your body exclusively, even if that is like the 100% goal, I think we have to plan in advance if things don't go as planned. And we have to plan for that stuff prenatally, because as soon as something goes wrong in the postpartum period, when, you know, baby's a few days old and you're still recovering from this baby exiting your body and you're exhausted and your support person is exhausted, it's not a good time to make these sort of rash decisions. So I've got 3 areas to focus on prenatally that might be able to make your infant feeding journey maybe go a little bit more smoothly. So the first of the 3 is going to be checking out a lactation consultant prior to having your baby. This can be helpful. So knowing who the lactation consultant in your area is, even chatting with them and setting up a pre-birth discussion, especially if there's issues like there's been breast augmentation or breast reduction surgery. If you've got issues prior to feeding your baby, it's nice to talk to somebody ahead of time so that you can have things set up already in place if they don't go as planned. So I also find that sometimes things work really well in the hospital. So for the 24 hours, 48 hours that you're there, everything seems to be working great. But when you get home, it can be quite different. And having a lactation consultant come to your home or even support you virtually can help maybe get over the early bumps in the road that you may face, especially those first couple of days. I think sometimes, even though I teach it in class, I think sometimes people really get confused by that 3-day growth spurt to bring in your mature milk. So at day 2, day 3, day 4, sometimes your baby's going to go through a period of cluster feeding where they're going to want to feed constantly. And this is us believing that nothing's working and that we need to, you know, maybe formula feed, or maybe we take an emergency trip to the ER because we're just not sure and we don't have that hands-on support and we don't have that, we don't, we we Google and all bad things happen. So it's nice if we can have, you know, at your fingertips support from somebody who can, you know, guide you through that and try to remember that first couple of days, baby's going to want to feed a lot. And this is actually perfectly normal. This is what brings in your mature milk. Now, the unfortunate part with lactation consultants is that they aren't cheap. And rightly so. They're extremely expertised on breastfeeding, body feeding, everything. They've done so much work to become an LC, because it's not an easy job to actually even become an LC. But it would behoove you to either, as you're budgeting out for having a baby and having that time off work afterwards, is budgeting for a lactation consultant. Again, if you're talking to one beforehand, you can find out what their rates are and, you know, budget for at least two or three visits. You may not need that many. You may only need one. So consider adding maybe having a lactation consultant to your baby registry so people can put together funds for you to help pay for a couple of visits. You should also check with your work insurance, because sometimes if you have in your insurance, medical insurance that you get from work, sometimes you have what's called a health spending fund, where you would put massage therapy and chiropractor and things like this. Sometimes they'll put lactation consultants in there as well. They don't often list lactation consultants in the little booklets that you get with what you have coverage for, but if you pick up the phone and give them a call, they will often tell you. So again, that would be put under, you know, anywhere where you would put massage therapist or chiropractor or naturopath or things like that. The second area that you want to sort of focus on prenatally is doing some research around bottles and pumps. So while your goal may be to exclusively breast and body feed your baby, sometimes things, as I say, don't go as planned, and you may have to pump for a bit to get your supply up, or if supplementation is necessary because baby isn't latching well, you might need to offer, you may start with formula, but you could eventually offer exclusive breast milk. Doing your research on the various pumps that are available and maybe even saving up for one or adding it to your baby registry can make it easier if a pump has to come into play. And there's obviously pumps that are going to be sort of low cost, low use. So if you're only going to be giving a bottle, you know, once in a while, you wouldn't have to spend tons of money on one if you were going to exclusively pump and offer milk. So it's important to sort of see and look at what is available out there, what your options are, and to, you know, again, add to your baby registry. When we get to the baby registry, you know, people always want to give like onesies and, you know, gift certificates for Babies R Us and, you know, diapers and all these other things. And that's great, but maybe it's some bigger stuff that's going to be helpful for you, and having friends and whatnot, you know, chip in for something bigger is not a bad thing. Now, I suggest also that if a pump has to come into play, it's really good if you do the research ahead of time, because making these decisions while you're exhausted and struggling to feed may mean you make a decision, an expensive decision that you might regret later. You also want to check with your work insurance again, because sometimes they will cover the cost, or at least partial cost, of a pump. It may not be the whole thing, because sometimes if you get a really heavy duty pump, they can be a little bit on the expensive side. But just asking your family doctor for a prescription for one, then they will usually cover a pump through the same place where you would be reimbursed for canes or crutches or walkers or assisted living devices. And again, just pick up the phone to your insurance company and see if that's possible. You also, again, when it comes to bottles for baby, again, do some research. Make sure that if breast and body feeding is the goal, that you're using really slow flow bottles. Using a bottle that will just pour into baby, a toddler bottle or just a random bottle, can make it difficult for baby. I don't necessarily like the idea of nipple confusion. What it really is flow confusion. For babies, they will want to take or get food into them as easy as possible. And we have bottles, when we have bottles that are fast flow and it just pours into them like Niagara Falls, it's going to be really difficult to get them back onto the breast only. So try and use bottles that are slow flow, creamy bottles that make it more difficult for them to actually feed from. I know that sounds mean, but it's going to make it easier if you want to eventually go back to feeding from your body exclusively. You could also look into temporary supplement, if you're doing temporary supplementation, using a tube or cup feeding or syringe feeding. And the hospital will likely, especially if it comes up while you're at the hospital, they can also help you out with this. And again, a lactation consultant can help walk you through tube feeding, cup feeding, or syringe feeding to get baby the supplementation that they need, but also not have this sort of flow confusion either. And tube feeding is actually really cool because you would basically have baby on the breast with a tube in their mouth at the nipple where they are still feeding from your body and stimulating and, you know, creating the supply that you need, but they're also getting the supplementation, but it's all happening from your body. So this is a good option. And thirdly, take an infant feeding class. I think, and I didn't say a breastfeeding class, I said an infant feeding class. You want to consider taking a class that is going to cover not just feeding baby from your body. A lot of times, you know, some of these classes are really about, you know, why we're doing this and extolling the virtues of it. We already know that. We want to spend time talking about how to best facilitate feeding baby from your body right from the start, but we also want to talk about what happens if things don't go as planned. We also want to talk about, you know, the use of bottles, the use of pumps and formula, just in case those situations come up. If these classes aren't available in your area, consider reading books prenatally on not only breast or body feeding, but also on exclusive pumping and bottle feeding. There's a book that I actually really like, as I turn around to try and see it, called Mixed Up, Combination Feeding by Choice or Necessity. And it's by, the author's last name is Ruddle, R-U-D-D-L-E. I think this is a great book that can be beneficial if you're exclusively pumping and whatnot. So this is a good one to choose and read. And it's very short. It's not complicated. But anyways, you want to look at all of this stuff. You want to shoot towards, if exclusive breastfeeding is your goal, exclusive body feeding is your goal, yeah, we're going to shoot for that. But we also have to have contingencies. I'm someone who likes to have plan A, plan B. I kind of look at things and go, okay, what if something goes wrong? Do we have the mechanisms in place if something should go wrong? Great. That's what we're going to do if things don't go as planned. So consider that. And, you know, feeding your baby can be daunting. And it doesn't have to be completely overwhelming, though, if you plan ahead and make those contingencies for when that feeding journey takes detours. All right. So it's funny. I was talking with a friend Monday night. My God, I'm so sick. I don't even know what day it is. I wasn't sick on Monday. But I went out for coffee with a friend, and we were talking about, you know, how, like, when I had my babies, they were literally in the NICU for a week. And I know, as awful as that is, it was actually really, really good because it allowed me to be in a hospital recovering, not having to worry about laundry and cooking and all my other children and all this other stuff. But I was able to just be in what was called a sleep room. And I remember I paid $2 a day for being in the sleep room. So with my first son, I didn't start in the sleep room. I was actually going back and forth, which was exhausting when it came to my recovery. So the nurse actually recommended these sleep rooms where you would go and they wouldn't feed you. It was just a bed in the hospital where you could be. There were no nurses looking after you or anything like that. I still went down to the cafeteria and whatnot to eat, or my partner or my family brought food to me, but you were not admitted in the hospital. So you were not, you know, sort of hanging out there being looked after. But I was very close to baby, so anytime he needed to feed, or anytime any of them needed to feed, they called and I got up and I went down to the NICU to feed them. And when I was doing that, there was always somebody there helping me, you know, moving my boob around and pushing his head further in and making sure that everything was going well and basically teaching me what to do and how to feed this little human. Now, admittedly, with my first son, it really wasn't, I wasn't as enamored with bottle feeding as I probably should have been, but I ended up giving up. I was probably going through some undiagnosed postpartum depression, but I ended up giving up a couple months in. It just was not working for me. I was so tired and so exhausted, and again, was probably had some undiagnosed postpartum depression that I just kind of gave up. And then with my middle son, again, he was in the NICU for a week, and I had that support, and I had the sleep room sort of right away and hung out there with him. And it was a much better experience, and I ended up feeding him from my body until I had to go back to work. And back then, it was like 6 months. We didn't have the year plus that we have now. And then with my daughter, we actually did get sent home, but she had issues with feeding, and she was gaining weight okay when they let us go, but at the 24-hour mark. And when we got home, though, feeding was extremely difficult. It was really painful, and it ended up being that she was losing weight. She was screaming bloody murder because she was starving. And even though I had given formula to my kids, I didn't have a problem doing that. When I tried to give her formula, she just vomited it all out. So my gut instinct was like, yep, no, something's not right. Something's wrong. So I put her in the car in a midnight run back to the ER, to the hospital where we had given birth. And after a couple hours or so, she was eventually readmitted into the hospital. And I don't think I got a sleep room that night. I think I came back the next day and got a sleep room. But the funny thing was, is she couldn't go into the actual NICU. There was concern that she would have to go into the pediatric ward, which would have been different. And it wasn't something that I was, you know, necessarily used to, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be like. But after a couple of hours of the pediatrician on staff, who was actually, funnily enough, the pediatrician we dealt with for my other two, we ended up getting into the NICU. But because she had been out of the hospital, out in the real world, she had to be isolated within the NICU. So they actually, I felt kind of bad for this. Only a little bit bad. They cleared out the pumping room where all the mums would go and pump and put us in there into our own little sort of private alcove. And then after a couple of days, she was moved out into the rest with the rest of the babies. But again, that was, you know, having a lactation consultant and, you know, NICU nurses helping me through feeding and identifying what was going on and what was wrong. And there was some things wrong. She actually would lift her tongue to the roof of her mouth and my nipple would fit underneath her tongue, which meant that wasn't the working mechanism of what was happening, what needed to happen. So I ended up having to you know, use a nipple shield, but they wouldn't let me go until I was weaned off the nipple shield and things were working well. And that, I think we've lost that. I mean, that was 18 years ago. We've lost that. We don't have necessarily that support. Postpartum areas, NICU or postpartum nurses and, you know, sometimes hospital lactation consultants will just throw crutches at you to, you know, get you feeding and then send you home without any way of getting off these, you know, nipple shields and things like that. So we need to figure out a way to make this a little bit better for people and make it a little bit easier for birthing parents who actually want to feed their babies from their bodies exclusively. So it's a little bit of a rant. I apologize for that. Again, not feeling well. So yeah, there you go. That's my time. And I hope everybody has a great week. And if you like this, I would really appreciate you, you know, hitting that follow button and, you know, hitting that rate, review, and subscribe. Subscribe, tell your friends, and give us a little bit of a rating. That would be awesome. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.